Thank you, Paul.
Very good. Thank you. I've rigged up the thing so it could stand. I can't sit and preach. If the internet doesn't hold up or it's not too good, I'm recording the message if you want to hear it without any internet interference, so it'll be on sermon audio. But we're turning tonight, please, in our Bibles to the book of Job and chapter 1. A devotional from Job chapter 1, please. Christians in difficult times. It says in Job chapter 1 and verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one in his day, and they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job went and sanctified them, and rose early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, or Jehovah, that word is. And Satan came also with them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect man, upright, one that fears God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We'll end our reading there in verse 12. Sometimes we ask questions such as these. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why was Amy Carmichael, who was working in the centre of the will of God, why for the last 20 years of her life was she confined to her bed in a lot of pain? Why does a young man, or was a young man called Glenn Chambers, who went to be a missionary in South America, he was from New York, he went to serve the Lord in Ecuador, and he was in the airport, and when he passed through security and his mother couldn't come with him any further, he's in the departure lounge and he wants to write a final little farewell note to his mother before he flies away. And the only piece of paper he could find had the word "why" printed in the middle of it. So he wrote that little note on that piece of paper to his mother and he posted it. And this plane took off and flew to Ecuador and crashed into the side of a mountain, and he was killed along with all the other passengers. And his mother received his final letter, and right in the middle of it was the great big word, why. Why do bad things happen? Why is there so much suffering? And sometimes people, not usually believers, and I pray not you, but they even ask a question like this. If God is a God of love, why all the human misery? That last question is very easy to answer. If God is a God of love is a signal that that person does not believe. That's a sign of doubt. There is no if God is a God of love. Secondly, let us remember that God is not a God of love only. Love is not his only attribute. Thirdly, if you know your Bibles, and I know that you do, you know that God did not create this world the way it is today. God created this world perfect. And the way this world is today is simply because of human free will. We had free will in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve, humanity, used that free will for evil. Humanity caused the fall with their own free will. God didn't create the world the way it is here today. God didn't create suffering. Humanity did. And the honest truth is, brethren, is it not? We still do. Why are there starving people in the world tonight? Do you know there's enough food in this world to feed everyone in the world twice over? It's not God's fault that the hungry people don't get food. He has provided more than enough. The problem is humanity and the distribution of the food. Why is there so much murder and killing? Because humans are aggressive. Why so many sexually transmitted diseases? Because of human immorality. Why are so many humans dying across the world from simple diseases that we've had the cure for many years, sometimes some of them even over 200 years? Why do many poor people in the world today die from appendicitis? Because they can't have an operation to have their appendix removed, no surgery. And yet we in the West, we have cosmetic surgery. And if you pay some money, you can have your chin tucked and your nose pinched within a few weeks. But let us not blame God for any of that suffering. Why do triple heart bypass patients have to wait up to 2 years to get their operation? But if you pay some money, you can get the operation very quick. Or you can have cosmetic surgery very quick. In normal circumstances, that is. Because money talks far louder than human need to human beings. I say all this because the world and many others in this world like to blame God for many things. But the facts are that most human suffering in this world is caused by other human beings. So let us put the blame where it belongs. But here, tonight, I don't want to dwell on that anymore. Let us ask a real question. A question that's well worth answering. A question that the book of Job answers. Why do God's people sometimes suffer for no apparent reason? That's worth answering. Let me give you a few short points. Not a full sermon, it's only a devotional. We notice in the first chapter of Job the man, a number of things about him. He was a man who lived in the land of Uz. We don't know where that was, but we know it was in the east, it says in verse 3. He was a spiritual man, because it tells us in verses 1 and 5, he was perfect, which simply means not that he never sinned, but he was complete. He was an upright, rounded, complete person. He was upright. He feared God. He eschewed evil, which means he shunned evil. And he offered burnt offerings, verse 5. He was a godly man, a spiritual man. You might ask, how did he know to offer burnt offerings before the law was written? The same way as Abel knew how to offer burnt offerings and worship to God before the law was written. He had heard from his parents. because godly parents teach their children what God expects of them. Job was also a family man. He had a wife, chapter 2, verse 9. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was a prosperous man. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, apparently, and many servants. If our brother Trevor's on, he will know, and anyone else that knows about farming, that makes this man a very rich man indeed. But he was a burdened man, was Job. He was worried about his family, and he suspected that his family were not all that they should be, because they were always eating and drinking in one another's houses, and so Job offered a sacrifice for them, just in case they had cursed God in their hearts. He was a burdened man, a man who was burdened for his family. So there's Job, the man that was the greatest in the East, verse 3. But the second thing I want to draw your attention to is the unseen world. From verse 6 onwards, we learn there is a world that we don't see. And that's why it's so easy to forget about it. A prime plane of God and angels and spirits of just men made perfect, where the devil is and his demons. They're called the sons of God, the angels, by the way, in this chapter. And this section in chapter 1 teaches us that whatever happens in the spirit world affects what happens in the physical world with God's permission. The two worlds are not separate completely, but they can affect one another. And we see in this section that Satan sometimes comes to earth and he travels around, and when he does so, verses 6 to 12, especially verse 7, he sees the people of God. And verse 11 teaches us that the devil suspects God's people of being hypocrites, that they only trust in God because God protects them, and that he wants to hurt God's people, verse 11. We see from the section that God questions Satan, verses 7 and 8, and God sees his people and he knows their spiritual state, verse 8, and he protects his people, their houses, their family, and all their works, verse 10. And we see that Satan cannot touch a child of God without God's permission. And also we learn that sometimes God gives Satan permission to afflict his people to prove that God's children don't just love him when things are going well. To prove that God's people don't just love him for all the blessings they get, but they love the Lord, yes, when the sun shines, but also in the storm. And the book of Job is about the storm breaking upon the life of one man. And the book of Job is all about a disagreement between God and the devil about Job's faith. A battle that affected Job's life and his family, but they didn't tell Job. He's unaware of what's happening and wondering the whole time, why, Lord? Thirdly, tonight I want to come to the section, the storm breaks. That's verses 13 to 19. I'm not going to do the readings. You know chapter 1 of Job. One day, Job was sitting, and a messenger came to him and said this: "The oxen were ploughing, the asses were feeding in the fields, the Sabaeans came and killed your servants and took your oxen away." And while he was yet speaking, another messenger came and said these words: "The fire of God fell from heaven and burnt your sheep, and your servants are all dead." And while he was yet speaking, A messenger came and said that Chaldeans came in three bands and they took all your camels and they've killed your servants. Brethren, that's all his wealth is gone. All of it. And while he was yet speaking, a messenger came and said, Job, all your children were in the house. When in a sudden fury a terrible wind came from the wilderness and destroyed the house they were in, and the house fell on Job, all your children are dead. Think about how he felt. All his children. Why, Lord? How would we react? All my children are gone. See Job's reaction? That's the fourth point. Verses 20 to 22. It tells us he was grief-stricken. Of course he was. He mourned. Of course he did. He fell down. And he worshipped God. And he says, we bring nothing into this world and we carry nothing out. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what he's saying? The Lord has a right to take back that which he has given to me. Of course it hurt him, but he didn't sin with his mouth. And in doing this, Job proved that his faith in God did not depend upon the gifts that God showered him with. His faith in God did not rest in God's protection. Because even in the storm, when all the protection and the gifts were taken away, he still trusted in the Lord. Job's faith defeated Satan, and Satan had to go back to the throne room of God and ask for more permission to try and break Job's faith. But that's for another message. The application to you and I is this. Let us ask ourselves the question, does our faith shine in the darkness? Does our faith stand forth in the storm? Or only in good weather? Are we Christians who always trust in the Lord? Or, as Jeff Thomas says, are you a fair weather Christian? It's not easy. These are serious questions. It says in Acts 14:22 that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's my 4 points. Quick and simple. I hope you remember them. Job the man, the unseen world, the storm breaks, and Job's reaction. Let me conclude. Let me finish. Job tells us something about our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ should not be dependent upon good times alone. But our faith needs to be in the Lord himself. Our pastor the other week mentioned John Newton. John Newton, the hymn writer. John Newton, the preacher. But before that, John Newton was a slave trader. He was a wicked, evil man. And the Lord saved John Newton. And when he was converted, he wrote this hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And he became a pastor in a church in London after the Lord saved him. And he was married and he had a lovely wife whom he loved very much. But one Wednesday evening his wife was not well and he sat at her bedside and she died. John Newton's wife died, and when she died, he called in his friends and the elders from the church, and he prayed around the bed with them and thanked God for her life and her help. But what was John Newton to do on Sunday? This is Wednesday night. Get another preacher. Nothing wrong with that, certainly, in those circumstances. But he knew that his congregation would be watching him to see if he really believed what he preached. And on Sunday morning, a stunned congregation watched John Newton getting into his own pulpit, and you know the text that he preached from. Let me read it to you. Though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And he preached that Sunday morning. Know what he was saying? Lord, even if there's no blessing, even if you take from me that which is precious, I'll still love you. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's saying, Lord, my faith is in you. It's not in the things, the blessings, the good things that you've showered me with. I don't place my faith in them. My faith is really in the Lord. So when all these other things are taken away, it doesn't make any difference to my faith, because my trust is in Jesus Christ. I love him even if he doesn't bless me. Brethren, let us be like that. Our faith is in God himself. We like the things he gives us, but we don't trust in them. We trust in him. And when we put our trust in him in that way, our faith is solid, no matter what the storm, how the storm rages outside of our lives. May the Lord bless you tonight. I hope I haven't went too long. And thank you for your attention. So, you put me off there, Hannah, please.
Thank you, Paul, for bringing us that message from Job. And I trust God will bless it to our hearts, that whatever the storms of life, we trust in the God Jehovah, the God of our salvation. So we're going to go to a time of prayer, folks. Just unmute yourself if you're going to pray audibly, and bring the need of our land, the need of our church. Pray for wisdom regarding Lord's Day Sunday morning and what format of service we'll have. Appreciate prayer about that the Lord might guide us in that matter, because that's ultimately all that matters. Remember those folk who are unwell, Jonathan Quinn and Michael. Thank God for Gerald's return home from hospital. And pray for the other shut-in folks that are vulnerable and more vulnerable than we. And pray for the kingdom of God and the work of the gospel. And remember our missionaries. We had ECM, or EMF, sorry, to do an annual meeting, and in June they will do a Zoom meeting with us. But we need to continue to remember the work of God beyond our own shores, and pray God's blessing. Remember Marcus, being in touch with him this week. Somebody asked him, somebody had been in touch, and he WhatsApped me that night with a whole update on just the situation generally in Portugal. So he's hoping to join with us maybe at the weekend to give that update to everyone. So let's bring these things to the Lord and whatever else is upon your heart, and we'll just open it up now for as the Lord leads. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of Job's faith. And Father, we realize, like ourselves, he was a human man with like emotions. And Father, the reality of the storm hit him hard, and yet his faith was tried and tested and came forth as bold, even when his closest friends exhorted him to abandon God, even his own wife. We find you that his faith weathered the storm and shone through, and we can learn from his example. May our faith shine through in these days of COVID, when some folks, Lord, are frightened and worried about life and the future. We have this confidence that our times are in your hand. And so, Lord, help us to lean upon you and to trust you and share that faith with others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hallelujah.